Amen. That was a very good word. It very was good. Goes back to what Bill was saying, sowing and reaping, don't it, Bill? Sowing and reaping. Melanie sowed those seeds. Some of those were just seeds. They weren't even plants. They were seeds. And now they're producing fruit. Beautiful. Thank you, Angela, for sharing that. And God will fill your hands this morning if you're ready, if you want it filled. It's all about your attitude, isn't it? About what you expect and what you desire and what you want. If you come to church to shut down, guess what? You'll leave shut down. If you come to church open, then God will give you what you desire and what you need. So look at your neighbor and say, it ain't over yet. Now, I know for you Yankees, that's hard for y'all to say that word ain't. I get it. You Northerns are real proper. But down here, Georgian, I want to hear you tell John, it ain't over yet. I don't hear you say that. Tell him. I hear. That's from Long Island, New York. It ain't over yet. John's like, what's ain't mean? In case you don't know what ain't means, it means not. It's not over yet. Turn to John chapter 11. This is a very familiar story. It's a story of Lazarus. Lazarus had died, and all hope seemed gone. And I want to tie this message into our lives today, which I absolutely believe that God can resurrect the dead physically. He sure can do whatever he wants. He's God. But I want to tie it into our life today of how that maybe you feel dead, you feel buried, you feel forgotten, you feel like the time has passed for any hope to be restored. And we read this story of where it looked hopeless for Lazarus and the ones that loved him. But with God, all things are possible, as the Bible says. All things are possible. So this is a very familiar story. We're going to skip around a little bit for time's sake, not to read the whole chapter. We're going to read 1 through 6, first of all. Chapter 11, John. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. That's a whole message there. I'll talk about it another time. That's a beautiful story of Mary anointing Jesus' feet. Therefore his sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Have you ever had a situation in your life where God got the glory out of a bad situation? I think we've all been there. Doesn't seem fair. None of us want to be sick. None of us want to face tragedy. None of us want to go through loss or pain. Bill talked about that in Sunday school, how that grace does not make all the pain go away. Because we're under grace doesn't mean we don't experience hardships and pain. But grace does get us through the pain. And grace does help us through the hardships. And so there's many things in our lives that it looks like, why am I here? Why has God let this happen? Or why is the devil attacking me? Why hasn't God fixed this yet? It's all about God's time and not ours. I've learned that as a Christian, that God's timing is perfect and mine is not. And as human beings, we love to place time and measure it on our basis. God, if you could move by next Thursday at 3 o'clock, it'd be great. It'd be really cool if you could just do that. But that's not how God moves, because God knows what season we're in now, what season we're going to be in tomorrow, and most importantly, he knows what season he wants to take us into. And so let God do all the prepping, and we just do all the waiting. Okay, God, I trust you. I trust your time. So Lazarus is sick. He's dying, and Jesus says, it's not unto death, but it's going to be for a greater glory. I'm going to do something with this. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 more days in the same place where he was. Now think of this. As a pastor, Stacy calls me and says, Pastor James is in, Jeremy's in the hospital. He's dying. I'll see you in a couple days. Okay. She might be calling another pastor. Hey, I need somebody up in here because he is dying and you're saying you're going to be a couple days? Jesus had a greater purpose to prove than coming at that moment and just making him better. In our lives, God has something greater for us than we see sometimes in our natural eyes. Because we think that we see how God should do it, and we think God should fix it this way, but God's got a greater plan for us, and I trust that. Let God, I say this all the time, let God be God. It's what he does best. Just let God be God, because he knows. So he stayed 2 more days after he got the word. Jesus would not have been a very good pastor for waiting 2 days. Somebody's dying, right? Let's skip down to verse, where we're going now. Verse 20.
Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. Lord, if you'd been here, he would still be alive, not understanding he's God and that his abilities isn't based on current circumstances. That God's power is not limited to what we have in the flesh. We said a while ago, you take God out of the equation, there's nothing left. We can't breathe. God gives us the air, right? There's no gravity without God. There's no moon or star. There's no light and heat. There's no cold and warm. There's nothing without God. There's absolutely nothing without God. Our blood doesn't flow without God because our heart don't beat without God. Everything comes from God. And our first response, like most of us would, I mean, I can imagine Stacy coming to me, Pastor, he's dead. Too late. Thanks a lot, pal. I called you 2 days ago, and you had to finish mowing your yard. Now he's dead. If you'd have been here, Pastor, he wouldn't be dead. Don't put God in a box like that, because it ain't over yet. With God, it's never over yet. I don't care how long it seems like something's not being fixed. It's still not over. When God's in the equation, all things are possible always and forever. And I trust that. It's not based on my timetable. It's based on what God's will for my life is. So let's see his response. But after she said that, she said this too, though. But I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it to you. Jesus saith, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. How powerful is this? Man, you're looking for a certain day instead of looking to me. The resurrection is not a day. The resurrection is me. I'm the resurrection, and I am the life. At any moment, I can do whatever I will. I'm not based to a certain time or a certain place. I am God. I'm all places, all time. And I can do anything, anywhere, anytime, for anybody, because I'm God. I'm the resurrection. Quit looking at thinking that that's what I'm talking about. I can change it now. I'm the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. This is where it comes down to you this morning. I know you're not in a tomb right now, because you wouldn't be sitting here if you were. None of you are in the grave right now. Not physically. But maybe y'all are in the grave spiritually. And maybe that's what Melanie saw up here singing. I see a bunch of whitewashed tombs up in here. And it shouldn't be that way. My God. You were dead, but you're not dead no more. You are lost, but you're not lost no more. You are away from me, but you're not away from me no more. You are not who you used to be. You've been changed by the blood of Jesus, sanctified and reconciled back unto God. Just like the old, if you notify your face, right? The old term. My preacher always used to say that. If you're happy, notify your face. Think about that. Notify your face. In other words, tell your face, oh, yeah, I'm happy. Supposed to smile right now because I'm happy. You got to notify it. Man. We shouldn't be a bunch of old bloodhounds on the front porch, should we? Yawning, just no life, and just an old bloodhound, just an old droopy, that old cartoon droopy. We shouldn't be like that. You know we should be more like the cartoon? Tasmanian devil. Well, you know what I mean. In the way he acted, boy, he was, I mean, man, he was on fire. He was ready to get somewhere. He got there fast. He was on the move, man. I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he were dead. Maybe this morning you are in a place you feel dead. Your joy is dead. Your peace is dead. Your vision is dead. Your strength is dead. Your hope is dead. Your power is dead. You're living, but you're not living. You're alive, but you're not living.
and you're in this dead place, you don't have to stay in that dead place. God has what you need today to bring you out of that death and give you brand new life. Doesn't matter where you've been, how long you've been there, God can breathe upon you and he can change your situation in an instant, in a moment, right now, no matter how long you've been buried. And we'll see that here with Lazarus in just a minute. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Of course, that is the message of eternity, that though our flesh may leave this earth, those of us in Christ shall never, ever spiritually die. We shall eternally be with God forever and ever. What a hope that is. Man, that gives us something to praise God for. You know, I think about this because we're in such a world. We always have been. You know, it started back in the Romans when they did all these sports in the arena. But, you know, we're so sold out to a player or a team that we just love. And then that player leaves your team. And that player joins your rival team. Right? You're a Steeler fan, and Ben Roethlisberger goes and joins the Cowboys. And all of a sudden, you're like, you know, Ben left you. You know who don't leave you? God don't leave you. Everybody else leaves you. Your wife leaves you. I'm talking about one day, if you live long enough, your wife will leave you off the earth. Your husband will leave you. Your children will leave you. Your preacher will leave you, because I ain't going to preach forever. Everybody in this world leaves. But God stays. And I am so thankful that I can celebrate that. God, you told me I would never die. I have eternal life forevermore. I'm never going to be separated from you. That's something to rejoice about. That's something to get excited about. There's hope for me beyond the grave. There's hope beyond. When you lose someone you love very dearly, it gives us great comfort to realize that they are not just lost out there somewhere. But God has got them in his arms, restoring to them all that they would have been before the fall of man. We have that hope in Christ, and I'm thankful for that. So he's talking to Martha, and he says, what verse are we on now, 26, 27. She saith unto him, Lord, I believe that thou art Christ, the Son of God, which come into the world. When I read this verse, something really popped out to me as I read that verse. We can't receive anything from God if we don't believe he's who he says he is. When I read that verse today, it just screamed out to me. She's saying, yes, Lord, I believe in this life because I believe you are the Son of God. So yes, I believe you're able to grant this because of who you are. If we don't believe that God is who he says that he is, we can never receive anything from him of what he says he can give. You've got to believe in him, that he's able to perform your miracle. He's able to heal your body. He's able to save your child. He's able to restore your strength. He's able to cast out those devils. He's able to break that addiction. God, yes, you're able because you're God. You are the Son of God. You are God in the flesh. God, you are who you said that you are, and I believe that. Trust him. Next verse. We're skipping down to 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. Now the other one's, you know, hitting him again. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And one of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Therefore Jesus, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus says, take ye away the stone. When I read that verse once again yesterday, something screamed out to me, and here's what I heard in my spirit, that God is going to take some of your stones away from you. That God is going to call your stone out of your life. That God is going to call your name, and that stone that's held you captive and a prisoner and a slave is going to be released out of your life to where you are going to come out free and not bound anymore. It's time we don't stay bound no more, not when Jesus has set us free. That's what the Bible says, whom the Son has set free, he is free indeed. Would Jesus set me free? Why am I staying like a slave when I've been declared free? You know, I've told you a story, y'all know this already, most of you probably know this, about the story of the elephants at the circus, how they have these trained elephants and how they tie chains around their leg to keep them in place. After so many days or weeks, I don't remember the exact time frame, but it doesn't take too long, after repeatedly, daily tying their legs around the elephant to teach them to, you know, to lock them up, they can take those chains off at some point and they don't move because they have subconsciously succumbed to the chain that they're in, even though they could walk right off and away. How many of us are standing here today like those elephants, that there's no chain there, but that's all that we see? There's no bondage there anymore, but that's all that we see, because that's all the devil, that's all the picture the devil paints for you. He paints the picture of bondage, who you are, the slave that you are, instead of saying, no, I'm not a slave no more. I'm not bound no more. I don't have to let sin run my life anymore. I can let the grace of God truly set me free to where I am free, free indeed from what had me bound. As I read that verse, I just felt that in my spirit, God is going to call your stone away. Because that's what's keeping you bound right now. And you don't have to be behind that stone no more. Because Jesus has set you free. Take away the stone, he said. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead for 4 days. We know the body decomposes pretty quickly without the life of God in it. He had been buried already 4 days. She's like, Lord, you don't really want to do this, do you? I mean, he didn't just die an hour ago. It's been 4 days. And I can see when she said that, if I could visualize Jesus, I bet he went. So, okay, it's been 40 days. Okay, it's been 400 years. Who cares? It's been 4 days. So, I know where he is. I know what I'm going to do right now. I know the plan of God for his life. Doesn't matter. He's been there 4 days. It doesn't matter. You've been there 40 years. God, in any moment, can change your destiny. At any moment. There is hope in Christ. Always. Because we've always been there doesn't mean we're always going to be there. And because Lazarus was dead today, it didn't mean we'll be dead tomorrow. Because you're dead today, it don't mean you got to be dead tomorrow, because it ain't over yet. You keep looking unto God. We talked Wednesday night about the race set before us, how God's put a path in front of each of our lives, and how it's our job to keep our eyes on him and stay the course he's placed us on, without going to the left and without going to the right and without going backwards, without trying to reroute ourselves. You ever been at GPS when you miss your road, it reroutes you, right? You miss your road, you start seeing rerouting, dot, 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 and it reroutes you, gets you turned back around. So too many times we live our lives rerouting. Instead of saying, God, just let me stay where you've got me. Jesus had a plan, and him being dead 4 days didn't change his plan. You being dead today don't change his plan. You can be sitting here today, and maybe inside your spirit, you're callous toward God, maybe you're angry at God, maybe rebellious a little bit toward God, maybe you're sitting here and don't really believe in this God stuff. You know, you're not really, you've heard of him, but you don't really believe. That don't change God. It don't change how he feels about you. Not whatsoever. If you have a child that doesn't care for you, it's hard for you still not to care about that child, isn't it? They're your child. No matter how they treat you, they're your child. No matter how ugly they are, how rebellious they are, how nasty they are, what they say to you, it makes you mad, makes you hurt, makes you angry, but it doesn't stop you from loving them. Nothing you are facing today changes how God feels about you or the plan that he has for you. It doesn't affect them. Well, God couldn't never touch me because you don't know what God can do. We're talking about God, not Dr. Phil. Man, God can do what he wants. He's God Almighty, lightning and thunder. Wind and earthquake. I mean, man, he's God. He makes the mountains shake and the tide rise and the moon shine and the stars twinkle. He makes us be able not to float in the air because the gravity that his hand keeps us on the earth. And once again, I go back to this. I love this. If you're in Antarctica, they are not falling off the bottom of the earth. I think about that all the time. How can they not fall off the bottom of the earth? Aren't they upside down? Just think about that. I don't know. I mean, God is amazing. He caused the dolphins to communicate, right? They communicate. He put humps on a camel. How cool is that? Talking about some back problems. I mean, y'all ain't got nothing compared to them camels. He made an animal that if you stick your hand on it, it'll stick you like a needle. It's called a porcupine. I mean, all of these animals, raccoons got the burglar glasses, right? God did all of this. He's got an animal called a skunk that has a secret weapon that none of you want to face. How ingenious is God? The beaver with that big flat tail hitting that mud down. From the little ladybug to the yellow jacket to the turkey buzzard. Everything that God created, He is God. He can bring you out of the place you're in and give you something else. He can touch you, heal you, deliver you, and set you free at any moment because He's God. Drives me crazy. I see these signs at games, you know, in so-and-so I trust, right? In Michael Jordan I trust. Really? He wouldn't give you a time of day. Now, he's one of my natural guys I love to follow. I love his story. He's a guy that if he called me on the phone, can we meet? Heck yeah. If we go meet. If I was walking around town with him, I'd be doing this. I would. Michael Jordan. But you know what? I don't trust in him. Not for my salvation. Not for my eternity. Not for my sins being forgiven. Only Christ did that. He stinks. Been there 4 days, Lord. He said in verse 40, said I not unto thee. He's reminding her of her own words. Said I not unto her that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And when he that was dead came forth, bound and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin, Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. Lazarus was dead for 4 days, and Jesus brought him back to life. You may be dead this morning. Jesus can bring you back to life. Remember a day, and don't raise your hands because we've all been there. Me and Bill talked about this other day, how in this generation we're living in now, there is such a spirit of oppression and depression upon the people, even God's people. Remember the day you used to be happy? Oh, you were happy. You were sober and happy, I mean. You were happy. You just had the joy of life. The joy of the Lord. God can restore that again. Too much pain, Pastor. Too many miles I've tracked. Too much damage done. I could never be restored again. Yes, you can. He is the resurrection and the life. What was dead can be brought back to life. All of that you're facing today that you said, God, I need to be restored. I need to be resurrected again. I'm tired of being in this grave. Man, there's no hope in a grave, but there's hope in Christ. There's no life in a grave, but there's life in Christ. God can resurrect you today, just like he did Lazarus, because it ain't over yet. You stay the course. And you stay where God has you, and you watch and you wait with expectation. God, my deliverance is on the way. And there's going to be a day you tell me, James, come forth, loose him, and let him go. I believe that we are in a generation still, even though the world has changed and the culture has changed. And me and Mel were talking about the other day, even though older than we are, we're like, my gosh, what has happened to people? I just don't understand it. But you know what? None of this catches God off guard. It's all part of the plan of God. I'm part of God's plan, and I'm going to keep loving people and ministering to people and serving until he calls me home. Period. I'm not going to let the culture change me. I want to let Jesus help me change the culture. So you know what? There's still a God that loves you, and there's still a God that cares for you. And though the whole world seems to be going away from God in so many ways, there's such a rebellion against God right now, there's also a drawing of God. Because people are hungry for something real. I mean real. Not fake, not worldly, but real. Because all the fun we have on Saturday night all goes away on Sunday, don't it? And we're still left there empty. You know, Melanie's a great analogy about the garden. Well, we can go out on Saturday night and do all the stuff for our garden. As Bill Thompson says, sow into the world. And then what do we reap on Sunday from that sowing on Saturday night? Not probably what we want. But if you sow in the kingdom of God, you reap what God has for you. It ain't over yet. Trust God. Wait on God. Believe in God. And if you need life today, God has it, because he is the resurrection and the life. Church, I don't try to explain to people why good things happen or bad things happen to good people. As Bill said this morning, some of it's just life. It's just the process of where we are. We can't control things. I've had two very close preacher friends of mine die in their 50s and be buried. That doesn't seem right. Two men that love God, two men that serve God, two men that were so faithful to their calling and died in their 50s and buried. Two close friends of mine. Doesn't seem fair. But you know what? God ain't done yet. And honestly, if we think about it this way, they're a lot better off than we are, aren't they? I mean, man, they're a lot better than we are. Let's bow our heads for a minute. Father, this word has come forth today. I pray that people heard it in their spirit, not just with their outer ear, but God, they heard it with their inner ear. They heard it inside their heart. To know that they may be feeling dead today. They may feel like all hope is gone, but God, all hope is not gone because you're still in the equation. God, all hope is not gone. I pray for a restorating spirit to flood the hearts and the lives of the people in this sanctuary today, right now. That your Holy Spirit will do a work that no man can do. That your Holy Spirit will fill the heart that no man can fill. I pray, God, for your anointing to cover this sanctuary, and that you, God, will exchange our sorrow and give us a garment of praise as we lift up our eyes unto you. That's where our help comes from. I speak to that death in the name of Jesus. I speak to that grave in the name of Jesus. I speak to that captivity in the name of Jesus. I speak to that tomb right now in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. That stone be rolled away. And that God, you call us out. And that you set us free. And that you restore that which has been lost and fix that which has been broken. That hope once again is a part of our walk. Joy and strength is part of our walk. Peace, God, that passeth all understanding becomes again part of our walk. As your Holy Spirit does the work in this place today, that you will mend hearts and help lives to find what they need today as they are in search of something more than what they have. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you, God. Go and sing that song, Marjorie. If you want to come to the altar before we close, say, God, here I am. And I'm ready to come out of the tomb. I'm ready to be loosed. Come talk to him today. Say, Lord, loose me in the name of Jesus and restore to me that which is broken. Spend some time talking to him as she sings this song.
Works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. God will make a way. my guide, hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. Will make a way for me. He will be my guide, hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way.
Just felt my spirit, Lord, kind of speak this, that He has not turned a deaf ear to your problem, and He's not turned a blind eye to your situation. Promise. He hears and He sees what you're facing. And He is going to make that way. Because He ain't done yet. And when that happens, it'll be for the glory of Him, for all to see. Look what I have done for you in your life. Trust that, church. He's listening and He's watching. And you're not forgotten. I promise. Father, we thank You for Your message today. Thank You for Your word. We thank You, God, that we can't escape Your presence. David said that. If I go to heaven, if I go to the grave, if I go to the depths of the sea, You're there. You're there. I can't escape You, God, because You're everywhere, because You made everything. And I thank You, God, for that promise I have, that You're with me wherever I'm at. And I thank You. Heal the heart of the broken this morning, God, and let there be a resurrected power inside each person. Let us leave this garden this morning with our hands full. In Jesus' name.